act like you're preaching 500 instead of 109. All right, we're going to take what we've got.
You gave us one concern you had for our generation of preachers on overcorrecting and coming too much out of the Old Testament and not up in the New. I'd be curious to know if you have more concerns that you see for our generation. And just unload.
I thought I did. Let me start with this. You young preachers are doing far more personal evangelism than the old preacher did. In my earlier preaching life, in many years, when I held a meeting in Birmingham, which I kind of expected most of the preachers to be there several times during the meeting, maybe even day and night. Now, when I hold a meeting there, they're all busy with one stage, and that's where they need to be. Now, I think it's good to get acquainted with the neighboring churches, and perhaps even an old hour night where you can go to another meeting. As Ed Aaron used to say, we believe in autonomy, but that doesn't necessarily mean isolation. We need to know our brethren, love the brotherhood, and that's individual, and be concerned with brethren wherever they are. But the biggest responsibility now is get out there into the homes and teach people who are willing to learn. In those earlier days, people would come to meetings and we could convince them and convert them with our preaching. But they won't now. There's too much going on at home. And so I believe and I commend you for what you're doing in that regard. I do believe that sometimes not enough attention is being given to reading some of the good the writers who did sermons in the past among brethren. How many of you have ever read McGarvey's sermons? Two or three. Yeah, for the college brethren. Old Brother Fitzman used to say, if you're going to prepare a sermon, don't read McGarvey first, because after you read the way McGarvey did, you can't think of any other way to preach it. There's some simple, but very, very doctrinal, sometimes in the Old Testament. In fact, one of the most interesting sermons in there is on providence, and he preaches it backwards. It's the story of Joseph and his, why was Joseph second in the kingdom? Well, because, and why? Because, why? Because, and he just went the whole thing backwards. And it's a beautiful lesson. Don't neglect the part of the tabernacle sermon. McGarvey's sermon, some little old timer had something to say. And I think we need to get back to some of that. I'm not trying to say don't read the Calvinist writers. Like I surprised Ricardo Calvinist seemed to be some of the best defenders of the inspiration of the scriptures of anybody, and I appreciate what they do. But you've got Calvinism sprinkled all through it. And if you're not reading the other side of it, many times we get to the point we don't even recognize. And before long, our preaching is much like the evangelicals. And an evangelical can come to our services for several weeks and not hear anything distinctive. And at the same time, our own young people go to the evangelical churches and hear much the same kind of preaching that they've heard at home. And sometimes they haven't heard a sermon on instrumental music and baptism. A long, long time. So don't neglect those. Those are the main things. I love the young preachers these days and appreciate their dedication, and especially the fact you're here in the Northeast serving the Lord. I just rejoice in the work that one of you doing and glad for your interest. I'm talking. I won't have to work with any more questions if I didn't talk. I tell you what I know instead of what I don't know. But I lived, as I said, in the Northeast in the 1950s, mid-1950s. And we had preachers get together then. And I believe that the number of churches and preachers opposed to institutionalism now is probably as strong as all of us together were in the 1950s. And that should be an encouragement, I think, though there's still a whole lot to be done. We've got time for another question. So we're going to do better with that one.
Yes, sir. So let's say, hypothetically speaking,
okay,
you preach somewhere where there's a 92-year-old who preaches and a 60-year-old who preaches, another, you know. Is he 67? Okay, a 67-year-old who preaches. Like, let's just say, well, 60. Tim doesn't know your age. But no, but let's say, hypothetically speaking, you're working kind of in a group where there are a number of men who preach, and you're a younger guy, and so there's got, you know, elders are preaching, former elders are preaching, you're preaching. Like, as you try to think about what to preach, and trying to be balanced, not just within your own preaching, but trying to be balanced, kind of thinking collectively, you know, how do you, just what are your thoughts on that?
Don't worry about that 90-year-old, he probably can't hear you anyway.
That's
a good question. I think don't preach to the preachers. Preach to the younger. Mm-hmm. And the older preachers will appreciate it. I think they'll appreciate it very much. And they'll learn something. I've learned something from some of the youngest preachers I've ever heard. But it was simple material. But don't worry about them particularly.
I guess my question was more, as I'm thinking about the top, so, you know, Marty will preach on something, you'll preach on something, Philip will preach on something, Russell preach on, as we try to think about what the church itself is hearing, so what Emory Hills is hearing, like, just trying to figure out, okay, so what am I going to preach on? Well, should I preach on this? I mean, like, because there are, so speaking for myself, there are some times when I think, like, this lesson would make a whole lot more sense if it's coming from you than if it's coming from me. Does that make sense? And so trying to balance that out for the sake of the actual body, not so much for you guys.
There may be some sense in that, but at the same time, one of the advantages of having two or three different preachers, and the church in Antioch had five, is the fact that they can preach on the same thing, mm-hmm. and it's not repetitive. If I preach the same thing that I preached 2 or 3 weeks ago, people say, well, there he goes again. But if I preach it, and you preach it, and somebody else preaches it, they don't notice it that much. Mm-hmm. But it's getting repeated. It's truth that they're hearing. That's about the best I approach on that deal.
Yes, sir. Back on the idea of pendulum within Old Testament, New Testament, do you feel like you sit in gospel meetings and local sermons and local Bible classes? Where do you feel like you're seeing that, or is it all of those, where maybe too much emphasis on the Old Testament?
Well, it's just in general preaching, and even in Bible studies, I think we there's more study being done in the Old Testament in many places, than in the U.S. and the New Testament epistles and the life of Christ needed great more attention than the Old Testament, I believe. That's not against Old Testament preaching. I keep stressing that. But that's where the attention needs to be. That's where the emphasis needs to be in my judgment. Yes, sir.
Related to that, I've noticed in some studies that I've had recently with new converts, a lot of people that I meet that, like, in the community really have zero Bible knowledge. They don't know who Noah is, don't know who Moses is, which is kind of atypical of times past. So when we get to things in the New Testament that are speaking about, like, Jesus reading the Gospels, Jesus talks about Jonah. They don't know who Jonah is. And
well,
so how
they go back to Jonah.
Sure.
Let the Old Testament give you what you need to explain the New Testament.
Sure.
And not just rejoice in the fact that with mainly the Old Testament connection over than you. I've learned about some connection I didn't know existed, and I was glad to hear it. But that's not what should be the emphasis. The Old Testament should help us understand the new, and not the new help us understand the old. And maybe I'm off base on that, but I really think that's something that is a murder for us. And I think it may be what we're reading a lot. Yes, sir.
Yes, you. There was a moment where you said.
Okay.
So there was a moment where you said that the life of Jesus was a mystery to you. There was a moment where you mentioned that some of the things that he did may have been a mystery, and I believe that that was where you sort of emphasized that we should be studying the New Testament more, because that's where we're going to be able to understand some of the things that the Spirit is going to reveal to us. For me myself, I was baptized on Good Friday, so most of the things that I'm coming to learn now, though it's all been fully revealed in Scripture, and by the grace of God, you know much more than I do in terms of the revelation of the Spirit, I still have to grow into that fullness myself. So my question is, how do I balance out learning new things that other people may not be so aware of, and how do I manage the balance of are you straying too far away from the Scriptures, or are you really showing me something that may help me to see something new that I hadn't seen before?
Well, just showing something that they haven't seen before is not always what's going to save their soul. There are some things that are essential to the salvation soul. There's some things that are good to know as whipped cream on the top, if you please, but you can get along without it. Something I did for a long time, I used the Jew Miller film strip, number one, as my first presentation, just to give them an Old Testament background, just a very simple, and then we go into Mark or Luke, and if we went into, and when we come to something like they didn't understand, then we might go back and make some reference to that. I think a little Old Testament survey, even if this is pencil paper or so on, is good introduction, but we need to get to the new very quickly. To the life of Christ, I believe, is basis. And then the epistles should explain more, richer information about the Jews. Okay, is that the time?
So I'll give 5 minutes.
Pick another one. Yes, sir.
One of the concerns that I've seen in my own preaching that I think I've gotten from you listen to so many different things is, you know, trying to make preaching more palatable, or even the emphasis. For example, there's a lot in the Bible about joy, right? And people want to hear about joy. And so easy to be like, okay, let's emphasize this about joy. Or even we were talking about in the car, like, people want to know who they are, identity. That's a big thing today. And the Bible can help you with those things. So I guess the question that I have is this. In our preaching, it's so easy sometimes to preach those things about, you know, Jesus can help you find who you are, or Jesus can help you get joy, or, you know, the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. But I find myself that I don't know. Do you understand my question?
I understand. That's what people want to hear, but that's not necessarily what they need to know.
Yeah.
When you go to a doctor, he gives you medication that you need. And maybe you have a sweet taste that you kind of enjoy, but that's not what it's all about. It's getting well. And some of it tastes awful, but you take it anyway because of what you go. And if people are just looking for temporal joy, and temporal happiness, comfort, and even a sense of security. It's not, the Bible doesn't appeal to that. The joy that it offers is the joy of the Lord. And that's based on faith in the Lord and in His promises and in Him in times of need and trouble. But it's based on faithfulness to His word. Now, understand exactly what you're saying. And somebody said that we don't just preach to felt needs, we preach to real needs. And that's an important thing to do. And it has to do with what we conceive to be the needs that people have. And if they don't want to hear what they need, then they leave. But they left Jesus sometime when he didn't tell them what they wanted to hear, like in Nazareth when he was in the synagogue. And I think we're going to have a general discussion of this very thing, but it's something all of us face, including myself, even now. What do I preach? And I think that's part of the plan. And if not, okay, well, thanks so much. It's been a joy to share with you these thoughts.